Greetings and welcome to Love and Justice. I'm Kyle Olson. Today, I'm going to dive right in. Over the holidays, we received a tip on our hotline. The call came from Heather Watson, an Arby's colleague and close friend of Ashley's. Take a listen.
Hey, Kyle. Last night, I was going through my Facebook messages from around the time that all this had happened. Ashley actually sent me one at 3 a.m. on Sunday, 48 hours before she was murdered. She sent it after she attended a party. This is what her text said. Duff, have shit to tell ya. I'm like drunk as fuck right now, but I figured I'd let you sleep, so I'm sending you a message here, ha. Text me as soon as you fucking read this. Shit went down. Don't tell anyone. Just text me like now. I racked my brain and I can't remember what it was about or what even happened. I just think it's really crazy that it literally 2 days before it all happened. Just hope this helps.
This is a seismic tip, and I have a lot of questions. What this tip tells me is that something may have happened in the days just before Ashley died that directly relates to why Ashley was killed. Today, I'm going to be doing a deep dive. I want to know everything I can about the days leading up to Ashley Love's death. This is Love and Justice. What was Ashley doing in the days leading up to her untimely death? Who was she hanging out with? Did anything unusual happen? These are questions I'm hoping to get answers to today as I take a deep dive into the days and hours before Ashley was killed. I'm hoping to piece things together using everything we've learned about this case so far. Over the past 8 episodes, we have talked to so many of Ashley's family and friends, and now it's time to see where all of their thoughts and theories begin to overlap. Perhaps the best way of doing this is by relating it back to one central source, Ashley's known timeline. One of the biggest pieces of evidence that is still available to us is Ashley Love's very own Facebook page. While the page has taken on new meaning over the past decade, becoming a sort of memorial page for loved ones to leave messages for Ashley, this was the very same Facebook page that Ashley used to give status updates right up until the night she was murdered. So let's begin by taking a trip in the time machine, using Ashley's known timeline to see what we can uncover together. Summer 2009. Weeks after Ashley graduates high school, between the months of June and September, Ashley posts a number of Facebook statuses that reference attending parties.
Party time. This is going to be fun. Chilling with my friends tonight. Having a great time at Valerie's. Text me. Hanging with my crew tonight. Party time. Off to Valerie's. Partying it up. Valerie's tonight. Text me. Heading to Valerie's tonight for a party.
These parties are no surprise, as we have heard about them before. We know that there was drinking at these parties, and we know that there was some light drug use. You might also recall that we received a number of tips that expressed suspicion about these parties, and in particular, the people who were at these parties, and the activities that those people might have been up to. Was Ashley making new friends at these parties? Was Ashley surrounding herself with people who were a bad influence? July 29th, 2009. It's the middle of summer, and at one of these parties, things go south quickly.
Wow, scariest night of my life.
Ashley and a bunch of her friends get busted for underage drinking at a party just weeks after she has graduated from high school. Tammy recalls this moment vividly.
They had a party and a bunch of them got busted for underage drinking. I knew there was something was off. Ashley told me she was spending the night by Jessica's house. She never spent the night by Jessica's house. It was always opposite, right? So I knew something was off. So the next morning I texted Ashley and I'm like, what's going on? And then her first words to me was, she's like, how did you know? I'm like, And I didn't know, Kyle. But you thought I knew, you know, and she just told me everything. I told her, I said, we're going to be spending a lot more family time together and stuff. I'm like, Ashley, you know, you got to watch yourself.
As concerned parents, Tammy and Joe have an emotional talk with Ashley and encourage her to spend more time at home in an effort to help guide some of the post-high school decisions that she is making. While Ashley did spend more time at home, she also continued attending parties that summer and into the early fall. This is certainly nothing unusual for a young woman who's just graduated high school. Everyone drinks and experiments at this age, especially in the beer capital of Milwaukee, Wisconsin. But this is worth noting for Ashley's victimology, because the only way that we can solve this case is to learn everything we can about where Ashley was in the weeks leading up to her murder. These parties could very well be where the answers lie. August 6, 2009, Ashley attends her driver's test in Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Hell yeah, I passed my road test. Watch out, world, here I come.
Tammy recalls the day that Ashley passed her road test, almost like it was yesterday.
Oh my God, that was a crazy, Kyle, that day, oh my God. It was crazy because that poor girl, she gets her driver's license. We're driving back over to my mom and dad's because she was so excited. She wanted to tell them, you know what I mean? So all of a sudden we hear this noise. I'm like, what the heck's going on? The tire pops. She gets a flat tire, her first flat tire on the way. So we get that fixed up, right? We're like, okay, get over there. I'm like, oh, you had your first flat tire. So then we're like, we're going to go by. She wanted to drive by Joe at work. So she was so excited. We're going to drive over there. We're stopped at a stoplight. She's like, Mom, that car's going to hit us. I'm like, no, it's not. Bang, right in the back of us. She has her first accident. I'm like, are you kidding me? All in one day, the day she got her license. I'll never forget that. Isn't that crazy?
Wednesday, September 23rd, 2009, 13 days before Ashley died.
Glad that shit is over.
Ashley appears in court and must pay a fine for drinking underage at a party from just a month earlier. Later that day, at 4:27 p.m., Ashley posts again on her Facebook page.
Good girl gone bad. Text me.
This is an interesting status update, and nobody here is quite sure what to make of it. Is this a reference to a song lyric? In 2007, Rihanna released her third studio album titled Good Girl Gone Bad. A year later, Good Girl Gone Bad Reloaded was released. The song title features lyrics that include the following lines. Trying to get enough drinks in her system, take it to the telly and make her a victim. You better learn how to treat us right, because once a good girl goes bad, we die forever. In May of 2009, just months before Ashley died, another song entitled Good Girls Go Bad came out by Cobra Starship. The lyrics here say, just take a bite, let me shake up your world, because one night couldn't be so wrong. I'm gonna make you lose control. She was so shy till I drove her wild. You were hanging in the corner with your five best friends. You heard that I was trouble, but you couldn't resist. Boy, you're dangerous. Yeah, you're that guy I'd be stupid to trust. But just one night couldn't be so wrong. You make me want to lose control. Make of these lyrics what you will, but the Facebook post may not just be referencing song lyrics. It could also be referring to something deeper that Kia told us about earlier in the season.
Ashley definitely wanted to be someone that she wasn't. Like, imagine Superman. He has, like, his little cover-up as Clark Kent because nobody could know that he's Superman. I feel like she was trying to develop a different ego and try something new. Things that were definitely different for her. She wanted to be, like, the bad girl. Like, I know nobody really knew this about her, about Ashley, but there was one point in time where she wanted to kind of go sneak out and go do something different for a change.
Was Ashley becoming more of a bad girl? Or was Ashley perhaps feeling the pressure to become a bad girl? Did Tammy, Ashley's mother, notice any of these changes in Ashley at home?
In the weeks leading up to Ashley's death, I don't remember any noticeable changes. She was just the same Ashley she always was. Go to work, wanted to work, got her money, saving up for a car, just wanted to have fun.
Later that day at 5:18 p.m., Ashley posts on Facebook again.
Getting extremely annoyed. Text me.
Thursday, September 24th, 2009, 12 days before Ashley is killed. 12:40 a.m.
Good girl gone bad.
1:42 p.m., less than 2 hours later, Ashley posts again.
Gotta work 3 to close tonight. Text me.
Wednesday, September 30th, 2009, just 6 days before Ashley is murdered. At 2:33 p.m., Morgan, a friend of Ashley's from Pius High School, posts on Ashley's wall asking if Ashley and her friends want to attend a haunted house in New Berlin.
So, a bunch of people are going to a haunted house thing on Saturday.
Do I know the people? LOL. Are we trying to go Friday or Saturday?
Saturday, there's a bunch of people going to a haunted house in New Berlin.
Thursday, October 1st, 2009, 5:38 p.m.
Chillaxing. Work from 3 till close tomorrow. And then I'm going to a haunted maze. This will be fun. Text it.
OMG, I want to go to a haunted maze. Where at? I'm so jealous.
It's in West Bend. We will for sure go again.
Not to be confused with the haunted house, Ashley mentions preparing to travel to a haunted maze in West Bend, Wisconsin on October 2nd after work. Friday, October 2nd, 2009, 1:53 a.m. Ashley updates her Facebook page very late at night, in the early morning hours of October 2nd. She mentions the haunted maze yet again, and Kayla, one of Ashley's close friends, chimes in that she is excited to join the event.
Working 3 till close, then going to a haunted maze. This shall be fun. Text me.
Yay! I'm pumped.
Me too. Can't wait.
On that Friday, Ashley worked a shift at the Mayfair Mall Arby's from 3 p.m. until the mall closed at 9 p.m. that night. After her shift at work concluded, Ashley headed out with some friends to the Meadowbrook Haunted Cornfield Maze in West Bend, Wisconsin. Austin, who was Kayla's boyfriend at the time, describes what he remembers from the maze that night.
So on October 2nd, I do remember going to a pumpkin farm that had a maze at it with Ashley and Kayla and few other friends of ours from Arby's, and it was kind of this neat place. They had a big patch of pumpkins that you could choose from on the right when you come in, and they're all in their little orderly rows. On the left, there's a gift shop where you can buy all sorts of little Halloween decorations and trinkets and buy your tickets for the maze. And there's animals, if I remember correctly, around the back of that building to the left, goats and chickens. If you can imagine coming in from the road, the ticket booth with all the souvenirs on your left, all the pumpkins on your right, there's this haunted house in front of you. And to the left and behind that haunted house, they got a big cornfield that is made into a maze around this time. And that's what we were there for. We all got our tickets, went into this corn maze, and it was like a Scooby-Doo line where you got one person in front and then the next person behind them kind of like grabbing their shoulders and the next person, and kind of a train of people going through this thing. Every once in a while, we'd get a scream, and we're going through this pumpkin farm. There's people jumping out at us from any odd angle, little noisemakers and air blasters that give you fright when you're passing by them. And yeah, I the more I think of it, I remember this night pretty vividly. I don't know if it's because it's so close to Ashley's death or because it was just a very good time with friends. The corn maze wasn't our most normal hangout. Typically, Ashley was this outgoing figure, especially with her friend group, and she's a little more reserved that night. Something was a little off. Didn't give me any red flags that there was this impending fear of fright or worry or anything like that. But it certainly wasn't 100% normal. The night of the maze, I did realize that there was a little bit of a rift there between Kayla and Ashley. Something was going on that wasn't the usual buddy-buddy friendship, giggle and laugh and whisper and giggle and laugh again type of scenario that I was so used to. Something was different that night. I can't say exactly what it is, but it was apparent. I understand that a rift between these two girls might seem like it leads to some deep, dark secret or theory or conspiracy that, hey, what the heck was going on here? We want to know all the gritty details. Something was happening. That much is obvious. I don't know if it's as nefarious or as black and white as that. What I do know is that Ashley and Kayla were going down essentially two different roads in life, one to the left, one to the right. And though they were going down these roads together, they were still friends with each other. And a lot of times friends who go different paths can have a little bit of turmoil in their friendship just for the fact that, hey, things are new, things are changing. We used to be like this, now we're like this. You used to do that, now you're doing this other thing. I'm on this path, you're on that path. And in my experience, that happens all the time, happened to me and a lot of my friends.
What Austin describes here is important to note. Ashley and one of her best friends, Kayla, were starting to travel down different life paths. As Austin himself mentions, this is not uncommon after high school, especially when Kayla was going to college in a completely different city, while Ashley stayed back and took a year to spend more time hanging out with work friends while partying and exploring and planning on the next parts of her life. Let me be very clear here. This rift in their friendship is not meant to be seen as suspicious in our case. It's not. But it speaks to the fact that Ashley was changing. She was evolving and having new friends with new priorities and perspectives. Saturday, October 3rd, 2009, 3 days before Ashley is killed, 2:23 p.m.
Gotta work 3 till close. Hopefully it's better than yesterday. Text it.
Ashley heads to work for another shift at the Mayfair Mall Arby's. From the sounds of her Facebook status update, the shift on Friday was a bit rough. Tammy remembers this being typical work drama.
I remember Ashley talking about work that night and something happened. There was somebody who wouldn't listen to somebody. It was just more or less work drama.
After work that day, Ashley and her friends head to the haunted house in New Berlin. Morgan, who first invited Ashley to the event, remembers the haunted house evening.
I was like, man, I'm the only chicken in this group. This is not fun for me. But they're all really excited, and we ended up going through the haunted house. Wasn't as bad as I thought. We were in a hearse. They took us out into the woods, kind of, you know, ran around in there a little bit, and then we got chased back out. And that was, it was really simple. I wish there was more to it than our last hangout, just in the haunted house, you know? I wish there was more. And I'm sorry, I'm getting a little emotional. In that moment, you wish you kind of knew, you know, you wish you had those moments of just like, did I hug her before I left that haunted house? Did I tell her I love her? And I wish those moments could come back and I could do that.
Austin also recalls vivid details of this haunted house event, which was one of the last times that many of Ashley's friends saw her.
This haunted house in New Berlin, I do have the vaguest memories of. It was a little different than the one out in the suburbs of West Bend that had a pumpkin patch attached to it and a haunted corn maze. They had the scare factor amped up a bit. And even before you actually got into this house, the building you're going to, there's a little walk outside and around the building where even then there's people with machetes in hand and your classic Jason hockey mask on. And it was just a totally different experience. They had actual people doing a whole heck of a lot more around here. I don't remember a whole lot, but I do remember being there. I do seem to remember a party after the fact where we went and once again went to Valerie's house. And that's probably where things went a little bit more tense between the girls, at least. If it wasn't this particular night, it was very close to the night that at this party, this location, it was the first time that Ashley had tried pot. Ashley tried pot for the first time. There's a good chance it was my pot, seeing as I had the stuff on me at just about all times back then. And we grouped together and smoked together and party together. Halo was really never real comfortable about that substance in particular. And I can imagine that causing a big rift in their relationship. Only because, going back to what I said about them going different ways in their post-high school career. And Kayla would not have been caught dead with pot in her system, whereas Ashley seemed to be a little more liberal in terms of the things she would at least give a try to.
Austin is fuzzy on some of the details of this night and this party. He is confident, however, that during one of the final parties that Ashley attended before her death, she tried pot for the very first time. Later that evening, Tammy recalls seeing Ashley come home. She is joined by Jessica, who plans on spending the night with Ashley. Jessica, who was a close friend of Ashley's at the time, does not remember anything out of the ordinary happening that night or during the sleepover.
It just seems like a normal day. Everything just kind of flowed like it normally did, and she didn't seem worried or scared or like somebody was coming after her or anything like that.
Sunday, October 4th, 2009, 3 a.m., just 48 hours before Ashley Love is murdered. After returning home from having a night out at the haunted house and the party afterwards, Ashley settles in at home and sends a message over Facebook to her friend, Heather Watson.
I have shit to tell ya. I'm drunk as fuck right now, but I figured I'd let you sleep, so I'm sending you a message here. But for real, text me as soon as you fucking read this. Shit went down. Don't tell anyone, just text me, like, now.
This is a seismic message. Jessica, who was sleeping over at Ashley's that evening, does not remember anything unusual in the days and hours leading up to Ashley's death. But on that very same evening, when Jessica was sleeping over after they had attended a haunted house and party, Heather receives this incredible message.
So when I first saw the message, I texted Ashley immediately because I'm being nosy and want to know what's happening when I'm not in town. But I also wanted to hear from, like, other people about what happened, too, because I knew it involved other people. So I remember talking to Ashley about her going to the haunted house and going to the parties and how she had a ton of fun. But I don't really remember anything else about what was happening that day.
It's times like these that I wish I hadn't waited 13 years to start this podcast. It's no surprise here that memories have faded. Heather wishes that she had more Facebook messages that she could look back on. But sadly, when Heather responded to Ashley's Facebook message the next morning, it was via text and not via Facebook Messenger. She has no receipts of those old messages anymore.
I wish I could have actually talked to her more on there about what was happening and not text her from my old phone so I could actually have it and, like, go back and read it some more. I immediately assumed that something had to have happened at the party she was at. Like, I don't know what, but I feel as if something had to have happened that she didn't want me to tell anyone. I want to say this was after she had tried pot for the first time, because I remember her texting me telling me she had tried it. You could see a change, not physically, but more like emotionally when it came with friends. She was drifting away. Well, her and some of her closer friends were drifting apart, and she was becoming closer to friends that she wasn't as close with throughout her senior year, I believe.
Austin, who was at the party the night after the haunted house, agrees with Heather's thoughts here.
Seems to me that after a haunted house, after a drink, after trying pot for the first time, your best friend's totally pissed at you. Maybe other people are a little bit agitated because of the whole event there, the whole string of events there. Seems like maybe she's talking about in this text that she got high for the first time, her best friend got real mad at her, and that can't be a good combination of things going in tandem. Had to be very difficult. Certainly could seem like this shit really went down. Could seem like a terrible experience. I have some very negative feelings about it.
Perhaps the only thing that could be more frustrating than not being able to remember what the details of this seismic Facebook message sent 13 years ago was about is realizing that the Milwaukee Police Department never questioned Heather about these messages.
The police never questioned me about this message. Thinking back to it, I don't understand why the Milwaukee Police Department didn't question me about that Facebook message, but I don't know why they didn't.
We are unsure how late Ashley was up that night, but we do know that she worked a full shift that Sunday, from open until close. On Sundays, the mall was open from 11 a.m. till 6 p.m., and after work, Tammy picked up Ashley and they went home together. At 8 p.m. that night, Ashley posts on Facebook.
Super tired, thinking about some stuff. Text me.
Shortly after this Facebook status, Ashley and Kia find themselves chatting on the phone, making plans to hang out on the upcoming weekend.
On the 4th of October, we were on the phone, and we were talking about going to Mall of America for my birthday because it was on the 10th. Ashley was supposed to come to Richland Center and spend the weekend with me, and we were going to drive from Richland Center to Minneapolis, St. Paul, wherever Mall of America is. That was the last phone call I have had with her. The last words I remember her saying is, "I'll see you Friday." It was like maybe 10 at night when that happened.
Shortly after her chat with Kia, Ashley posts on Facebook again at 10:30 p.m. that night.
Ugh, I think I'm getting sick. I am going to fight it.
Monday, October 5th, 2009, the day before Ashley died. Ashley finds herself hanging at home before work. Tammy was working at the Arby's on Capitol Drive that morning before she left to pick up Ashley and take her to work at Mayfair. While Tammy is driving Ashley to work, something catches her eye. Something that seems highly unusual.
So, I remember coming home from work and I was picking Ashley up to take her, drop her off at work before I went and got Alex from school. But as we're leaving down the end of our block, there was this parked right in the middle of the road, right by the sidewalk curb on Hampton. It's the corner of Hampton, right at the end of our block. And there was this big white SUV, and it just struck me. I even remember saying to Ashley, I'm like, that's weird. Why are they parked in the middle of the road like that? Like, where are all those people out there? There's people like with kids, little kids in a stroller on the outside of it. I said, this is weird. I said to her, I'm going to turn down this other block. I said, I'm not going past them. Someone's not right here. And she's like, no. Yeah, that's right. She said, no, just keep going. So I just kept going straight. Because it's really weird because at different times I'd always say, you know, you should never take the same way home. You should always like go different ways in case somebody follows you. I would say that. I've said that through the course of the years. You know what I mean? And then I looked. I did look and I saw the windows were like blackened and you couldn't see in. The tinted windows you couldn't see in. But I saw the people on the outside. And they were Hispanic people, which was odd in our neighborhood because our neighborhood is mostly African Americans. So to me, that struck out as really weird. Even then it struck out as odd, but then when after this happened, it hit me even more odds. Like, what are the odds of that happening I mean, to me, it was off. Something was off. I don't know if they're a spy. I don't know. But now I almost wonder if they weren't. Watching when we were leaving.
At 2:49 p.m., Ashley updates her Facebook status.
I feel like crap. Don't want to work tonight. Text me.
Ashley works a closing shift at the Mayfair Mall Arby's from 3 p.m. till 9 p.m. During Ashley's shift, Valerie calls in sick for work on Tuesday, which forces Ashley to work a double shift the next day since the store had been short-staffed.
It struck me as very odd that Valerie called in sick. I mean, at the time, it didn't, but after this occurred to Ashley, it just struck me as very odd, almost like something was being set up. That's my gut feeling. It really is something my gut feeling.
Valerie calling in sick strikes Tammy as incredibly odd and peculiar. At the end of the night, Brighton and Jessica are the last two friends to see Ashley Love leave work for the very last time.
I was the last person other than her family to be around her that night. It was later at night, and we were sitting there and we were knocking dishes out. And there's an interesting thing, that a problem that we had with the sink back there, where one of the sinks would just never declog because of all the grease and stuff like that. And we constantly had to have people come in and clear out the grease trap that we had in order to make the drains drain. Well, it was just me and her, and we were rushing to like get out of there, and she left the sink on. And I go in the back there, and there's just water coming out of the top of the sink all over the floor. So we were there for like an extra like 20 to 30 minutes having to mop the floor.
We both were at work. We both closed. So we left the mall probably, left Mayfair Mall probably about 10 o'clock-ish. I told her I would see her tomorrow. She had gotten a car with Tammy. I had gone to my car and I drove home. She didn't seem on edge or like she was scared about something or worried about something. She just seemed like her normal self. She worked hard, and that's just how the day went. It was just like a normal day.
I picked her up from work, and we're driving home from work, and we're in the car, and she's like, oh, I just smell like roast beef. She's like, I just gotta take a shower when I get home. So I grabbed some of her hair, smelled it. I said, oh, you sure do. I said, it does smell like roast beef. Ooh. I remember giggling together as we're driving home. And then we get home and we talked about the next day because we had to get up early because she was going to go and work. She had to work a double shift. So she's getting ready to shower. And I remember being on the computer and talking about, of course, Arby's like we always do. And then she went to bed.
Tammy drove Ashley home from work at Arby's, and that evening, Ashley and her family watched a Green Bay Packers football game in the living room while eating dinner. This was a big game, as the Packers were playing against their biggest rival, the Minnesota Vikings. The Love family was zoned in because Brett Favre was playing for the Vikings for the very first time. The Packers lost the game by a score of 30-23, and the Loves, like most fans throughout the state of Wisconsin, were crushed. After the game, Ashley took a shower, said goodnight to her parents, and went upstairs to her second floor bedroom. Tuesday, October 6, 2009, 12:30 a.m., hours before Ashley Love is murdered, she posts a Facebook status.
Gotta work open to close tomorrow. Text me.
Just after midnight, Ashley starts texting with Heather, the friend who she sent the panicked post-party text to almost 48 hours earlier. Heather vividly remembers this exchange.
I remember talking to Ashley, like, for the last time, very vividly. It was the Monday night, so it was a Monday night Packer game. I remember her texting me when she left work, saying she was going to go home and try to catch the rest of the game. And it was when Brett Favre had just played for the Vikings and they actually beat us. She was not happy about that. And she was just going on a little tangent about how Favre sucks and how to fuck Favre and all that stuff. And I was up studying for my exams the next morning. So I it was nice to have her there to like talk to while I was studying slash trying to like stay awake to study. But I eventually went to bed at like 1 a.m. that day. And all I remember is her saying goodnight and saying, just remember, fuck Favre. That was the last thing she ever said to me.
At 1:12 a.m., Ashley is seen playing Bejeweled Blitz, a popular game on Facebook. This game entry is the last time Ashley will ever post a status on Facebook. Approximately 1 hour later, around 2 o'clock in the morning, Ashley Love is brutally murdered in her own bed. Here is a scenario that could have played out. It's the summer after high school. Ashley is going to parties at Valerie's house. We know that Valerie had slightly older family members, perhaps siblings or cousins, that would sometimes attend these parties. We also know that these party members were involved with many questionable activities. But at the time, perhaps Ashley did not know any of this. Perhaps Ashley was too busy just focusing on having a good time, hanging out with friends, and letting her hair down. She had worked hard to become one of the leading members of her class in high school, and now that school was done, it was time to party and experiment a little. The parties start off innocent enough, but as time goes on, more starts to happen. One drink turns into two, two into three, and so on. Some light drugs are introduced. Ashley starts posting teases on her Facebook page, things like good girl gone bad, after she perhaps feels some peer pressure to be a part of the cool new party club. Halfway into summer, Ashley and her friends get busted. And while this is a scary moment for Ashley, who has always had a good, clean record, it also is a moment that helps her bond and become closer with those who are at the party. As a result, Ashley starts to drift away from the people that she was once close with in high school and make new friends. Friends who were outside of the Arby's friend circle that we now know would get involved with questionable activities. Activities that were so questionable that nobody wanted to talk about them on the record while sharing their tips and stories with us this entire season. But did Ashley know any of this at the time? As summer turns to fall, Ashley tries to keep relationships with old friends moving, while still traveling down a new path with her newer friends that she has been meeting at parties. Ashley may have known that her high school and Arby's friends wouldn't necessarily love that she was getting closer to people who were encouraging her to party and drink more. Was Ashley keeping this a secret in an effort to be a good friend to her close friends from childhood? Days before she is murdered, Ashley is at yet another party. She texts a friend early in the morning hours after attending, explaining that shit went down. Did Ashley turn someone down? Did Ashley see or hear something that she shouldn't have? Could this be why the next day, on the way to work, Tammy saw an SUV full of Hispanic men in their predominantly black neighborhood that were acting suspicious? Were these suspicious men getting eyes on Ashley's house and neighborhood? Tammy saw a Hispanic male fleeing from the house on the night of Ashley's murder. Could the men in the SUV have been related to the person who Tammy saw moments after her daughter was shot? Does this also explain why Valerie, who hosted the party where the, quote, shit went down, called in sick shortly thereafter? Or is this purely coincidence? Could any of this be a glimpse into the truth of what happened? This scenario uses Ashley's very own Facebook timeline to help create an understanding, while piecing together the clues that we have heard all season from some of the people that knew Ashley best, like Tammy, Ashley's mother, Brighton, Ashley's boss, Austin, the boyfriend of Ashley's best friend, as well as Jessica and Heather, who were both close friends and colleagues of Ashley's. I've been asked multiple times about what I think happened to Ashley and what theories I think are most viable. Since the journey has started years ago, I have listened to so many people share their thoughts, both on and off the record. I can honestly say that I think this theory that I'm explaining here today is probably the closest to what might have happened. I say this while also understanding that this theory comes with potholes. It's extremely hard to know the exact motive behind why somebody wanted to kill Ashley. But the message that Heather received gives us very good reason to believe that something truly did happen at the party 48 hours before she was killed. Something that likely sparked a reason or a motive for someone to want to kill Ashley Love. But as I say all of this, let me be very clear here. Partying shouldn't get you killed. Underage drinking shouldn't get you killed. Turning someone down at a party shouldn't get you killed. Seeing something, hearing something, or being accidentally in the wrong place at the wrong time shouldn't get you killed. Somebody deliberately decided to take Ashley Love's life and must be held accountable. No matter what Ashley might have done in the months after high school, Ashley did not deserve this whatsoever. But until someone talks, we will never know why this horrible crime happened. But this isn't the only problem with this case. We've talked on this podcast about many of the problems that have plagued this case to date, but on our next episode, we'll be going even deeper. We'll see you then. Love and Justice is an official podcast of Magic Lamp Productions and is recorded all over the United States of America. This episode was executive produced, directed, and hosted by me, Kyle Olson. Co-executive producer, Noel Kane. Segment producer, Jessica Solomon. Producer, Maddie Rose. Associate producer, Miranda Schmidt. Editing by Cody Crabb. Production assistant, Natalie Izquierdo. A very special thanks to Tammy, Joe, Anthony, and Alex Love. Additional special thanks to Teresa Brockman, Terry Love, and Third Wheel Podcast Studio Los Angeles. Character voiceovers provided by Rachel Robison, Jill Carter, Amanda Crabb, and Shinaway Whitaker. If you have clues, this is your cue to give us a call on our hotline. Open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Don't forget to subscribe to this podcast and rate it 5 stars. Every single review greatly helps our exposure and increases the odds that more people will listen, which will help get this case solved. So please, rate this podcast and share it with your friends today. It only takes a quick minute. Somebody knows something. Maybe not everything, but something. Chances are that somebody is in Milwaukee right now. It could be you. There is now a cash reward of $12,000 for information provided that leads to the conviction of Ashley Love's killer or killers. Thanks for your support, and thanks for listening.